Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. I have a lot of things, and some of them you actually might want to know about. Just some of the, I wouldn't call it lighter stuff, but I'm going to use it as the image today, and I'll give you the link to a video I saw from RT. You know, there's been some prisoner exchanges between Ukraine and Russia. It's happened several times. There have been cases where a lot of people who were part of the Azov battalion were exchanged for some Russians, and it wasn't a one-to-one exchange. And there was a little concern about that because some of these people of the Azov battalion are rather cruel. But there was another one. This time it was 107 of each side, so it was a one-to-one exchange. I don't know about what happened with the Ukrainians. I haven't seen any report at this point. But again, there's the difference between the Russian government, the Ukrainian government, and the people involved. The people involved with the Azov battalion are cruel. The people involved in the regular Ukrainian military, especially because they were forcibly recruited, I don't have that characteristic. So you have to distinguish that. A lot of the Russians, which you'll find, I think from what I've seen, is there is a large percentage who are motivated because they feel that they're protecting fellow Russians in the Donbass region. Because again, remember, the Russian culture, the Russian language and so forth was outlawed 8 years ago, and the war has been going on for 8 years, and their fellow Russians were being bombed. And so that motivated a lot of people. Which I think is understandable. But, you know, there's so many details here. But look at the people. What I saw was, and I'll give you the link, including the link that you can get it if you want to go directly to it. This is an Odyssey link. But I also give you the link to a copy of the video from Koslowska.org. I made my own local copy, so I serve it directly, and I have several of the pictures as stills, because what I saw in that was a man, not a Russian soldier, a man, after he came off the plane, ignoring the various stories about, well, torture and things of that nature and mistreatment. Ignoring those things, what I saw was a man. And what did he do? He embraced his lady. That was the thing that got to me. Not the fact that they're Russian, Ukrainian, not the fact that they did the right thing or did the wrong thing, none of that. What I saw was a man who had been isolated from his lady for months. And you saw that bond. You could see it in their eyes. The one guy is holding, he has hand around her head, gripped to him. And I felt a bond to those men. I want to do the same with my lady. So badly it hurts. But I think you'll find that's interesting. So while we're on Ukraine, apparently more things have come out about Nord Stream. From my understanding, is there one of the two pipelines, and this is unclear to me. I think Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 are not actually individual pipes, but pairs. So that it wasn't one pipeline each, it was pairs. And I'm not sure if that's true or not. But at least one pipe is either ready to go back operational or some minor issues and it's operational. One needs more major repairs. But the other one, apparently, it's pretty close to, you want it on, flip a switch. But they can't because of all political pressures and so forth. So literally, people are going to be cold this winter because they became dependent on this and they cut themselves off. The Europeans did. But more evidence has come out. You know, there was the issue of evidence that some of these You know, we used to have simply torpedoes for underwater. Now they call them underwater drones because it's not point and shoot and good luck, but they're very controllable and can be used to deliver a bomb or to do other things. But several of these underwater drones apparently were delivered to Ukraine some time ago. There was the issue, Kim.com, a gentleman who is now in New Zealand, I think he's British, if I recall correctly. He's made a splash big time. Is the US or the UK trying to extradite him? Anyway, somebody, because of, well, one of the things he just exposed, apparently, is he, you know, leaked or got into Apple's servers and got a message from apparently Liz Truss, the at the time Prime Minister of the UK. At the time, like within the hour after the explosion, sent a message to somebody in the U.S., Secretary of State or not, no, Secretary of Defense, somebody like that. Simple message, it is done, or it is finished, whatever it was. So there is a whole lot of suggestion that plus some other evidence, the U.K. was involved in the Nord Stream bombing, sabotage. So there's evidence for the UK involvement. There's loose evidence of Ukrainian involvement. There's a lot of evidence of US involvement. There is some wondering about, because apparently the bridge between Crimea and the rest of Russia, note the way I said that big bridge, you know, there was the explosion that apparently has been repaired. But there was from the video, what first the assumption has been was that it was a truck bomb. And there's questions whether or not that was true, because the assumption is the driver didn't know. But the other evidence points to it was actually an underwater explosion that something underwater caused this thing to explode. And so the obvious suggestion is one of these underwater drones, perhaps delivered from the UK. The other thing is, because of the attack that occurred, a week or so ago in Sebastopol in Crimea, that UK was heavily involved. And a lot of the underwater drones or torpedoes were provided by the UK. So it's a mess. And what I think about this, and I really, because it seems rather clear, when you look at the strategy, the PR is that Ukraine is doing so well. It's baloney. Ukraine is being crushed. They're the ones that, and what the Russians have done is, once they did the bridge attack, it was, okay, now we're going to the next level. You gave us a reason. Now we're going to the next level. And they have been devastating the power system throughout Ukraine. And, what we did when we went into Iraq, for example, was the shock and awe idea. We just simply blew up everything. We wanted you to hurt. And that's what we do. And we killed a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. Whereas what the Russians are doing is they're not going after the power plants. They're going after the distribution system. The power plants take a lot more effort to rebuild. The distribution system can come back up relatively quickly. And so strategically, this is very wise, not only because of the fact what it does is it very quickly brings the country to a stop, destroying economy and things of that nature, making them more impotent in being able to do things to fight back and so forth. But it also allows them to rebuild quickly. It's strategically remarkable. But of course, I think strategically what the Russians are doing is better, not saying therefore the Russians are better. My concern is that we have, especially in the U.S., NATO countries, we had the mush percolate to the top. And what's happened is the people who are running this are just simply stupid. They don't have strategy. It is simply, I want to win and I want to impose power. And it seems there's a lack of insight because, you know, it's for example, the boycotts of Russian products, and they became dependent. Europe became dependent on Russian natural gas, and they have the all the resources there to get it. And just because they want to sink Russia, they say, no, we're not going to buy your gas anymore. And Russia's doing fine. They're selling it elsewhere. I mean, one of the strongest economies in the world now is Russian. You know, strongest economies in the sense that you know, they're not starving, they're not in debt, whatnot. They are, you know, all the sanctions hasn't bothered them. You know, there was the short dip, and it was just a short, small dip, and they're as strong as ever. The ruble is as strong as ever. But Europe is collapsing. And there is a serious concern about winter. Not only people being cold, but people dying because of the cold. It's a severe problem. And those things, I think, will ripple to, and I really think it's going to be Canada first and the U.S. But because what do? We're using power in order to gain. See, we used to have, in the 1970s, we made this deal with Saudi Arabia, where we would be their defender. They would, and in exchange for that, they would sell their gas based on the dollar, and therefore the petrodollar, which gave us a huge amount of control throughout the world because we became the dominant currency. But that's collapsing. The petrodollar is being displaced. So the value of the U.S. dollar has shrunk. So we have to impose some way. And we've had the issue with China. So in order to, you know, we went to China because we had cheap labor and all our industry moved there. And so many industries, especially things like the steel industry, auto industry and whatnot, so much of it has gone overseas, most of it to China, Vietnam, some Japan, and so forth. But now we want some of that back, but we can't get it from China, so we're getting it from Europe. So Europe, the industrial base of Europe, is collapsing. There are places that are shutting down, and not shutting down temporarily, shutting down permanently. And the U.S. is trying to grab that in order to rebuild some industrial strength in the U.S., but Europe will collapse. But I think there's enough incompetence happening in this process that it'll be a help, but a short-term help for the U.S. But the West itself will, you know, West, including Europe and the U.S. and Canada, it in the coming years is going to have real problems because the dominant players in the world will be the BRICS countries. And I suggest it's a good educated guess. It's not a thus saith the Lord, but it's a good educated guess. And this is my the world my kid's going to come into. So I wonder about that. So what that brings to mind, obviously, is that the reliable source of news, the Babylon Bee. And I saw an article in there that I highly recommend, and actually I'm going to provide you the link. Twitter employees devastated to learn their new boss expects them to do actual work at their jobs. And, you know, it's a funny ah-ha-ha, you know, if you want a job here, you need to actually do something, said Twitter's eccentric new CEO, Elon Musk, to the despair of everyone present. I think that's reasonable. Hey, where's everybody going? you know, but it, the It's a short article. I recommend it. I'll give you the link. But it's a funny, and I think it is a funny thing. But there are those who've actually lived it. You know, I mentioned before how there was an interaction with somebody working, I think it was at Facebook, and talked about that he works about 4 hours a week. And you see, I know this is offensive, but I'm a follower of Christ. And there's this idea of you shall not steal. And I know the applied version is you shall not steal individually, but if your collective does, go ahead. That is the reality. Because that funny thing about Twitter is not just Twitter, it's not just Facebook. An example that was not as refined, because not to the same excess, but that same example can be found at a place called, what's the name? Westar. Volvo. Medmind. That insurance company, whatever it was. Places I've worked in. And one of the ways you get yourself in trouble, one of the ways you become the outcast, is you work. Then you become the outcast. Then you end up doing, you know, multi-month contracts in 2 weeks or a week. And then you're the problem. Or you get fired because you're the problem. So it's a funny ha-ha when we read about it in Twitter. But I've lived it. Three other things. One, I sent the postcard today to Chris Bitterman. And I'm thinking I'll send three in a row that I've already... is planned. Reality is, you know, if the Lord wills. Because I don't have it in front of me, but that could be easily changed. Because I have all the links. 5 years ago, you sent the police to intimidate me. 1 Corinthians 6 might be in your Bible, and worth a read. You were afraid of my effort to reconcile. Are you still afraid? Maybe I'll leave it at that. It's been a big concern to me. They're called isolation. So I'm going to be direct and to the point. And then, of course, trying to be very public about this. So that's on the way. Yesterday, as I mentioned, I saw Miss Lillian and noticed what I perceive as a giving up attitude. Today, I did get my hair cut. The box I talked about did go to the post office, and it's gone. But then got my hair cut. Then I went to see Mike Day at the Daybreak Suites where I used to live. I haven't talked with him in like 2 months. I got there. I saw his truck. And I didn't see him immediately, but I saw another gentleman that I know, the husband of the manager. And we talked a bit. Mike's in the hospital. Apparently, his drug use is, prescription drug use. He's used non-prescription drugs a good bit too, because he was a drug dealer. And spent 6-7 years in prison for being a cocaine dealer, I think it was. But he uh, He apparently has been in having problems and now is in the hospital. And he has a dog who's he's very attached to, Jake. And I really wonder, from the conversation, is he given up too? It's really to deal with, you know, because again, it's like, you know, I know Jake, the dog, has been severe health problems. And Mike is so dependent on Jake. And James, the guy I talk with, he says, yeah, and Jake's dependent on Mike. And you see them both aging rapidly. Mike is just shy of 10 years older than I am. So he's just turned 76. He used to be in excellent health for his age. And it last couple times I've seen him, seems to be plummeting. He also apparently has mismanaged his truck and had some minor accidents several times in the last few months. So a lot of things are going downhill. And it concerns me for him, because I consider him a friend. He's, again, the one that I've picked up from prison and things of that nature. But anyway, one other thing. Again, I sent the box, so it's in the mail. What I have on the website is the link for the tracking, so you can find out whether or not, or when it gets to Jim Cross. And this is pressure. Because what's going to happen? You know, the obvious thing, would they somehow refuse it? Considering my wife has returned the postcards, as we see there's about 70-some on the wall now, which is against the law, and, you know, has returned some DVDs and so forth. So that's against the law. But the cards, postcards I've sent to Jim Cross have not come back. So he doesn't refuse them. He might throw them in the trash immediately, but he doesn't refuse them. But now this is a box. And what's going to happen? I don't think he'll refuse it. My guess is he will contact my wife and say, I have this box, because on the box, and again, the photos there online, on the back of the box, it's Mr. Koss, please give this to Susanna. So he will talk to my wife, and my wife will probably say, no, we can't give this to Susanna, because there's a problem. You know, and obviously I can say it here, because neither of them will listen to this, will they? In the box, as I pointed out, I've shown you the picture, the inside of the contents of the box is the t-shirt, the bib, the medal. There's a card just simply saying to Susanna. But packed in, well, it's actually, I put it there in order to keep it from bouncing around. But it also makes it less obvious. But I mean, the purpose was to keep it bouncing around. Is the DVD of the voicemail, that hour-long voicemail from the day after the race, which was directly to Susanna. It talks about obedience to Christ and the woman's role in life in marriage, and her impact on the man she becomes one with. But again, it uses the Bible, so my guess is, you know, we don't want to hear that. So I wonder, if it gets to Susanna, will the contents be first, remove the card? Because, you know, the card that's in there, I simply wrote, the to Susanna on one of these without obviously an address, but it's the promise card. This is a statement that they will probably want to keep from Susanna, because has she ever seen one of these? And if she goes to that website, she might see there's a whole bunch of postcards sent directly to her So maybe that card has to be removed. Because you wouldn't want to let Susanna know that her dad has been trying to contact her. Because if she finds out, she might tell her brothers and sisters. So you got to stop that, don't you? Then the DVD, assuming that's found, which quite possibly probably it would be, would they keep that from her too? Because one, it demonstrates quite vividly that her dad is trying to reconcile the family. And I don't think they want her to know that. It demonstrates a lot of things that will not make things look good for Jim Cross and my wife. So it seems like it's either reject the package completely, accept the package and stick it in a corner or throw it away, remove the postcard and the DVD and give it to Susanna. But that may be difficult too. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is this is serious pressure on Jim Cross. And it will be serious pressure on my wife. There's this box. In it is that medal and the bib and the shirt. And it's kind of like, why, if you're a third party, why would you deny a dad's celebration that he entered a race and wanted to share with his daughter the memorabilia of that race? Why would you want to deny that? That's a really, really difficult question, isn't it? And I just put that question before Jim Cross and my wife. Because that's what they have to do. Because if they don't, if they deliver it to Susanna, what is Susanna going to think? Assuming it gets to her without the card and the DVD, what is she going to think? There's no information here. It's just this from my dad. I don't understand. There's no card or anything. What will her siblings think? My other kids. Susanna got something from dad. Why? Does he ever send me something? If she gets the postcard, what's on it, is basically for Susanna thing. So there's no, nothing. Obviously, there's my address on here, though, pre-printed address. But there's this part of it because it has that URL on there. And that is dangerous in the hands of Susanna or her siblings. And the DVD, especially if Susanna or her siblings watch it, could be devastating because it would break down everything that my wife has been doing for years. What if my wife sees that? What if my wife actually sat down and watched it? What I've done is put serious pressure, and again, the evidence of what happens in the sense of the tracking information is right there. It's on the website. So it's public information. You can easily track it. I give you the link to this this video from Russia Today, but it's not the fact that they're Russians, but it's a man embracing his lady after being isolated from her for months and after being tortured. Do you know what it'd be like to be a man who's been isolated from his wife and have that kind of embrace, been isolated for over 10 years, and really, literally, has been tortured? The lady you see there, you don't see her face. It's obvious. She wanted him back. I don't think my wife would say that. I have no evidence to believe that. Besides the fact that that's not keeping the promise, it is torture. You know, I've done a lot of study in torture. And physical torture really hurts. It's devastating, it's cruel. But it seems some of the worst is the mental torture, the isolation. Where is that done? Who does that in large scale? That would be the United States government. It's the whole purpose of Guantanamo Bay. That was the whole purpose of Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. You know, we put, and then of course the SAMS facilities across the country with as many as 80,000 people in isolation. Isolation's a killer. It's torture. You know, and you hear about people for 30, the longest one I heard was like 40 or 45 years in isolation. You know, I am, as I, you know, part of my promise was to do what I can to live to be 90. It seems I'm doing that because I'm in great health. If I make 90, it'll be about 40 years of isolation. It's torture. No idea how much it hurts. You don't see bruises or blood dripping from me. It rips you apart. My purpose is reconciliation. I'm not going to turn from that. I'm the guy, you know, again, going to the Babylon Bee article about Twitter employees devastated to learn the new boss expects them to do actual work at their jobs. I mean, the issue is, at Westar, that wasn't funny. I was there for over a year and produced zero. Being paid, you know, I was being paid a six-figure salary, and in the article they talked, many employees who reportedly have salaries in excess of $150,000 a year have shared they don't remember what they were hired to do in the first place. You know, because obviously I was only making $100,000, but that was 10 years ago. Do you think I'd be making $150,000? Probably. If I would have just kept my mouth shut and did nothing. But you see, I'm a follower of Christ. A Other things have happened, but that's definitely enough for today. And be very curious, beginning of the week, to see what happens, to see if this gives an indication of it was delivered. And boy, I really it's the fly on the wall and be wondering what's going to happen. What's going to happen? My hope is somehow, either because of Jim Cross, because of my wife, because of Susanna, because of somebody who sees what Susanna gets, somebody will say, why don't we reconcile? My lady, my wife, why don't we reconcile? Be maybe obedient to Christ, an act of love. My lady, I love you and I want you back.